We are back. Back to what? Our bullshit.
That is correct.
I am very excited for the summer. I know your face is so funny.
I can't tell if you're joking.
I am and I'm not.
Okay. What are you excited about, Sable?
I'll be going upstate for a couple of days next week just to hang out. Yeah, a little friend hang, which is fun. And I will be spending probably all of July finishing book edits.
Yay.
And I'm free in August, and then we'll have to get my life together. But hooray.
What do you mean? Your life is together.
You know when you have like a really long project and then you have the deadline where you're like, okay, now it's gonna be done. So I have to start putting all my ducks in a row for all the cool stuff I wanna do.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Pre-launch.
Worth being excited about. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love not really understanding any stage in your book edit, but I am
neither
along for
do
the ride.
Every time I ask people things, they say different things too of like what's supposed to be happening. So I'm like, cool, nobody knows. Great. Excellent.
I think like if I've learned anything from being old as fuck, it's that there's never a game plan or a rule book for anything, and it never looks the same for any two people. So stop asking questions and just try your best to figure it out. Yes. Like, sure, ask a question, but every time I've been like, so what was this like for you? And what should it be like for me? It's got me fucking nowhere.
No.
Which is how I ended up here. Gay.
My friend Danielle was asking me about the process or something, and I was like, well, I'm constantly in between hyping myself up and being like, you can do this. And then the other part of me is just like, you know, what is actually the point of achieving anything? And then her response was to stunt on hoes. And I was like, fair.
Fair. We're already at the end of June, dude. Like,
dude, it is cancer season.
Oh my God, it's almost your birthday.
I know. It is our time. Girls, let's go, girls.
I'm excited.
I feel like when all the horoscopal months come in, like the seasons, the zodiac seasons, I feel like cancers are the most birthday month people.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Is cancer a fire sign?
Water. Cancers are like the petty bitches of the zodiac.
Okay.
We're like loyal as fuck, but then we're also really good at holding grudges and being a passive aggressive little bitch.
Okay. All right.
It's me roasting me.
Well, good.
Yeah. But I'm psyched, yes. And it is my birthday soon, which I forgot about completely. And like not for the first time, that's an insane thing to say, but for the first time in a while, I've actually forgotten it myself and had friends remind me. Whereas usually it's like the other way around.
Yeah.
We're like, nobody knows until I'm like, it's my birthday.
hang out with me.
Please be my friend. It's my birthday. Right. I'm like, oh, well, you remembered? Because like, I remember everybody's birthdays to a stalkerly degree where people are like really weirded out by that. But I'm like, they're like, how did you know that? And I'm like, you told me it. And they're like, yeah, but still, how did you remember? I'm like, because I just remember things that you tell me. And then they get that look on their face where they're like, what else does she remember?
Right. I can barely remember anyone's last name.
It's a selective memory, to be fair.
Sure.
I won't remember why I walked into the other room, like what I needed to do, but like, I'll remember something a bus driver said to me 7 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
The day, my last birthday, I went and got a haircut because I do that every day. And randomly as fuck, my barber was like, when's your birthday? And I was like, it's today. And he was like, are you joking? And I was like, are you joking?
You're like, can I have a free haircut?
Yeah, it felt like a setup. I mean, one of those little like car chairs.
Like for children.
Yes. Where are you going upstate?
My friend Dara has a house somewhere up there.
Okay.
She was like, oh, look, what do you want to do when we go upstate? And I was like, I don't know, like pick a berry. What can we pick up there? Because I just need to pick something. It's going to be a pick me trip.
Yeah.
The picketing. I also entertained the idea of doing a big like Korean barbecue in K-Town on my actual birthday. So
fuck yeah.
Yeah. I think that'll be fun.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
I think the best way to eat a large quantity of meat is with as many people as possible.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Every time I've done Korean barbecue in the recent past, it's been with two, maybe three people total. And you need more people because you at the end, people. You're just pushing around the last bits and you're like, someone has to eat this. It's so expensive.
Right.
And then you all feel terrible afterwards.
Right, right. That's so funny. Well, that'll be fun. I'm happy for you.
Yay.
That you're going upstairs.
Yay.
Beautiful.
Oh, we should talk about the Firmenich party.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. The girls are girling.
Hell yeah.
And we got invited to this yearly party by Firmenich. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know, but Firmenich is one of the, I would say two, that's probably inaccurate, but the two huge, not even like houses, companies that create all of the fragrances for brands of many size, from for Tom Ford, allegedly for legal reasons, to many, for, to what many of us think of as indies, to the biggest, to many of the smaller brands. So they invited me and Sable to a summer party that they were having at their offices on the Roots Terrace situation. And I don't know, it was a long party. I had somewhere else to be. Oh my God, which I have to admit. I was like, okay, it starts early. It's at their office. Like, what's this going to be? A conference room full of like bad lighting and a cheese tray. But I was like, we like them. They're good to us. Let me just go. Bitch, I showed up at 6:10. I was on time for once. That place was crawling. It was a rager. They really turned that office out.
Also, I thought it was interesting how they said that it's an annual party they do mostly for their clients. So it's just like a way for everybody to mingle. So part of me was like, then why are we here?
that is a good question, because it very...
Well, it was, like, even, all of their clients. Like, yeah, we met a couple of our past guests, which is really nice. We met Frank Vogel. We met Steve Marmaris from Set B.
I don't even know what they would classify our titles as anymore, but we are certainly not that.
Yeah.
But it was lovely to be there. I mean, the food was great. The drinks were great.
Such good snacks.
Such good snacks. They had 8 custom scents that they made for the party, specifically. The party was fruit-themed, so they had scents and room sprays and then fucking vaporizers and then even peas.
Yeah, they had little roller bowls for everybody to take home.
And before I knew that we could take them, I was taking them anyway.
Yeah, same. I was just like putting them in my purse. I was like, well.
I was like, it's attached to the lab. They got more.
You're coming on with me.
You know which one I wore and I really liked? I wore they made one to smell like watermelon and tahini. And one, it's as good as it sounds, every bit and more. And the wear, I was like, why is this 3 party perfume wearing better than most fragrances?
So strong.
But strong in a way that's like not killer. I don't know. I mean,
they're like Bath and Body Works candle strong to me.
They're strong. Yeah. But I that one I'm probably going to wear like to the end. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
They had a Magnolia one that I liked that was like meant to be like, it was called like summer salt or something. It was like a kind of like a light watery floral, but it was salty. That was really good.
Okay.
They had the banana mezcal one. That's like interesting. I don't think it's the type of scent I would wear on my body, but I think it's like it's a fun scent. Cause it does quite literally smell like bananas and mezcal.
Yep.
And then they had like another banana themed one, blue bananas. That was like tonka vanilla banana, which is kind of cool.
That was the candle, though, right? Or did they have a...
They also had roller balls,
That candle is loud.
Yep. Like I said, it's like Bath and Body Works strong. But they also make a lot of Bath and Body Works scents, so I'm like,
Right. Definitely blue banana and Boy Smells banana pudding are like the two genders of banana candles.
Oh my God. I wonder if like, is banana going to have a moment now?
I hope not. Respectfully.
Because I love banana flavored candy. Like I love banana flavored runts, but I don't know if I want to smell that. You know,
I can see specifically probably Boy Smells doing a really cool take on a banana for the body. I mean, the candle is definitely not at all what I was expecting. And I think it's really lovely. But, you know, we'll see. Is banana the new pistachio? Wait and see.
Breaking news.
Kayali is coming out with a fragrance duo called The Wedding Set because our friend Mona Katan was married with last year. And they're both, I guess, takes on sandalwood. So
interesting.
TBD. I'm really interested in Kayali's take on sandalwood because it's... I feel like it leans more closer to the core that they launched with than sort of what they're doing now. But I don't know. I think I'm excited.
I finally smelled their pistachio gelato scent.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is nice. Mm-hmm. It's like a literal interpretation of pistachio gelato.
Yes. Wow.
Pistachio gelato. Somehow yes. I switched the suffix there, but okay, it's you okay. Get what I'm saying.
It's late.
Yeah, it is late. It's late in the day. It's funny. This day, the past 2 days, I've been wearing Kaoli Musk and Vanilla Layered, and it's such a good combo.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, so good.
That's the Elixir and the Black Bottle.
Those were like part of the OG launches, and they're so good.
They're so good. I mean, Kaoli Vanilla, you can't beat it.
I was like kind of smelling myself all day and being like, I smell like a young girl. Optimistic about the future.
Well, Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I smell like Kerez, K-O-R-R-E-S, Saffron Orris.
Is that how you say that? It's Kerez?
Yeah. Kerez. I remember because in my head, it's Coors, because that's the English pronunciation. And then I remember being in a Sephora many years ago and having like, I guess, whatever Sephora person was working that brand. And they were like, oh, would you like to try some Kerez, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. It's the same way I learned how to pronounce Givenchy and not Givenchy. from a perfume girl at the mall.
Yes. Yes.
But somebody DM'd me about, I think they asked me, like, have you tried Kerez's saffron scents? And I was like, say what?
Yeah.
And then, like, serendipitously, a publicist who reps Kerez emailed me. So I was like, hey, do you actually have samples of your saffron scents you can send me? And they were like, and they did.
Nice.
Saffron Orris, it's like two of my favorite notes, saffron and iris. It's not what I thought it would be at all.
Really?
It's like very different. It's very powdery.
Okay.
It's definitely more orris than saffron. I don't really get a saffroniness. Like, I don't really get saffron from it. I get spice. It's almost like a warm gingerbready kind of vibe with orris. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And you would like this.
Remind me what orris is.
It's the root stock of an iris. So it's part of an iris.
The root stock of an iris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I also did not realize that Kerez had fragrances. They're all Eau de Toilettes, like whatever, but they come in like cool looking apothecary bottles. They almost look like Kiehl's fragrances.
Got it.
Yeah. This one came out in 2019, so like not too long ago.
Sure.
And it's warm, spicy, a little bit powdery, which sounds very counterintuitive, but it's such a lovely combination. It's a little bit, they're like pretty strong. They sent me saffron spice as well, and like, reading the notes to the actual result was like, whoa, because the actual result, it was giving like Dior Sauvage. It smelled like like a loud men's cologne. And I was like, what the heck?
Ooh,
yeah.
Hey.
I was just like, what? Why would you do this?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. So that was an immediate no for me, even though note wise, it sounds right in my alley.
Mm-hmm.
But yikes. But I'm glad that the Orris one is really nice. It's almost as if it's a fragrance made of base notes, because everything is quite heavy. Like even the powderiness is heavy. So I'm curious who wears this. I mean, it is a lovely scent, but it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Huh.
As someone who is a 5-7 sprayer, this is like a 1-2 spray.
Wow. Okay.
And it's an Eau de Toilette too, which is kind of nuts.
That's crazy.
Yeah, apparently it's a hit on the Fragrantica forums.
I mean, what is that?
That's true. All those, I don't know, sometimes people are like very condemning on there, but
yeah.
People seem to love Saffron Orris, and people are extremely polarized about Saffron Spice, which, fair.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting. I would be curious to smell more of Kerez's fragrances, but I think I would just like probably pop into a store and do that rather than call them in.
Right.
Yeah. Heinen, what do you smell like today?
So I smell like a brand that I've pretty much been talking about all year. I have revisited their discovery set multiple times this year, including this past weekend. And I'm wearing my favorite from the brand, Purple Afternoon by Universal Flowering. So Universal Flowering is, as I'm sure you know by now, the guest on the show today. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to have them on. So I wanted to do something as a shout out to them. So I built my 4-cent discovery kit. Maybe 5-cent. I thought it was 4. And I think they throw in another one. I mean, anyways, however that happened, I'm happy. Universal Flowerings collection, I feel like in a world where sort of like there's a new fragrance coming out every day. And, you know, I don't want to say it's all there expected, because what would that even mean? But there are themes and there are benchmarks and this and that. But I'm always very pleasantly surprised by Universal Flowerings, mm-hmm. not only fragrances themselves, but their storytelling. And as I work my way through the 4 or 5 scents that I chose, there really wasn't a miss, really, truly for me. But the one that I love most is Purple Afternoon. And in reading the notes, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is definitely the one for me. But on skin, it's really warm, sort of coffee, chocolate. It's really spicy. And that spice comes from this oud that not only lends spice, but this almost ash, like this molten part, mm-hmm. it's equal parts warm and on fire at the same time. It's really nice. I think you would really like it. It's very up my alley, but the notes are cardamom, coffee, carrot mm-hmm. seed, orris, tobacco, and oud. So they have notes, a little description, and then characteristics also. So however you shop for fragrance, there's something written for you to understand. Their mm-hmm. characteristics are more like mood words or concepts, and mm-hmm. these are elegant, whipped, delicious, fallen leaves as a woman making out under a cashmere blanket. So it is just like all that. Every time I spray this on, I like it more. And it's just one of those things that just makes me happy that I'm alive. And I am even happier that we have Courtney Matthews from Universal Flowering on today.
Hell yeah.
I feel like it's been a little bit of a minute since we've had a true indie perfumer on. And if you've been paying attention, which again, if you're listening to this, you probably have, mm-hmm. Universal Flowering is really starting to pop off. And at least,
yeah, I see a lot of people posting about it in the fragrance community.
Yeah, and even sort of outside of it. I mean, people are really starting to take note. So, I mean, I feel like it's a perfect time for us to have her on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Courtney Rayfuse, and I'm the owner of Universal Flowering.
Amazing. And Courtney, what do you smell like today?
Honest answer, I smell like sweat. Probably, because it's extremely muggy here, but my hands are definitely reeking of lilac because I was bottling that all afternoon.
I love that. It's funny. I feel like, Sable, do you agree that most perfumers that we have on the show always are like, oh, I smell sweaty? It's never like, you know, it's never a lot, perfume.
Yeah, so many perfumers are like, well, I don't wear perfume because I work making perfume all day, so I can't wear, you know, smell myself.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I do wear a lot of perfume, but 9 times out of 10, when people ask me like, oh my God, you smell really great today, what are you wearing? I'm like, I'm covered in like 30 different things. Like, I have no idea. Yeah. I can't tell you. I know it's like a very obvious response.
Right. It's like it's indecipherable at that point anyway.
Mm-hmm. I would love to tell you that I had some like beautiful mastermind layering happening right now, but
I mean, in a way, yes. In a way, too.
I did wear, do you guys know Atelier Mentari?
The name rings a bell. Yeah.
Oh, God. I got this perfume. I got it for myself last year as a gift to myself. It's called Coco Porcelana, I think. And it's one of those perfumes. I'm just like, how did they do that? How did they do that? And I would be wearing that if I wasn't working today.
I love that. So, Courtney, we both sort of discovered Universal Flowering, I don't know, end of last year, early this year. I feel personally late to the game, but I have since been digging into your collection or what I have of it and just really enjoying it, being constantly surprised at not only the scents, but your storytelling around the fragrance, which as, you know, writers and people who work in beauty marketing, like it's, I don't know, I get excited about it. So do you want to just tell us sort of like maybe give the elevator pitch of your brand?
Oh gosh, the elevator pitch.
Sorry, that's the shittiest phrase. The minute that came out of my mouth, I was like, fuck me.
I just like remembered an ex's dad once being like, I think I said something just like so offhand, like just being like, yeah, it's basically like bottling memories or something like that. And he was just like, that's it. That's how you're going to be a millionaire. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's how it'll happen. But that, like, bring that the elevator pitch
straight to Shark Tank.
Right.
Also, just like if you said that to someone in an actual elevator trying to pitch them, they'd be like, arrest this woman.
Yeah. you might not be wrong.
I love the name Universal Flowering. How did you come up with the name?
Well, it's actually like a mode of, not like a mode of painting, but like an analytical structure around painting. Oh. But it has like nothing to do with that. I think I was just brainstorming names and I kind of liked the action, like flowering, like just, and I liked having a lot of syllables to really, really give people a real mouthful.
Yeah.
So one day I'm sure I should probably change that, but so far so good.
I love how galaxy brain it sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
It does.
It's really lost all meaning to me at this point, which is good with a name because you get sick of those things so quickly. But it's like now, like it's just kind of like a, I don't think about it anymore, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, right. It's like become its own entity.
Right. Oh, I like that even better.
Yeah.
That's way better.
So what is your background and how did it bring you to perfume?
It's sort of a boring answer, I think, in many ways, but like it just sort of happened, or like it sounds like a bit of a like cop out, but it did just kind of happen. I was always sort of trying to figure out a way to be in the world without working for anyone because I sucked at it.
Amen and to that.
Yeah, it was something that I just was never very good at, even though like I was like working like as soon as I could, which I think was like at like 13 or something. But after several different like little business bits, like I don't know, like I was selling vintage clothes on Etsy in like the early 2000s and had like a little brief thing with a record label. And then I moved to Toronto probably about 12 years ago and decided that it was something I was like excited by, mostly because I had moved here and decided to like kind of get my shit together, so to speak. I didn't, but for some reason, like having a signature scent that was like, I was like, that's the way I do it. That's how I get it together. And I couldn't find anything that I liked and nothing was really speaking to me. And I just sort of started messing around with things on my own and it snowballed.
Yeah. Isn't it funny the way that a signature scent, no matter what's going on, can make you feel like you have your shit together?
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah, completely. Know? I mean, I've never had one because, of course, as soon as I started doing this, like it's down the rabbit hole, like so fast that
right.
The idea of wearing a single perfume through all the ups and downs and horrors of life seems like a terrible idea. Just having one scent to like carry you with all that seems like a very bad idea to me.
Elegant. That's a really good way to think about it.
But bad. Yeah.
That said, is there a type of fragrance that you gravitate toward wearing yourself or even like a type of notebook?
Again, classic, probably perfume or answer. No, there was at first, for sure. Like when I first started, it was all really spicy, ambery. I really liked like very warm fragrances. And now it's like gone off the rails. And now I'm at a point where there's not like a single like family of fragrance that I would dismiss at all.
I love that. It's a good place to be though.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting to be there because I want to smell everything now. Yeah.
It's one girl's mission to smell the world. The tagline.
Again, an excellent elevator pitch.
I always think it's cool how independent perfumers have such a unique way of describing fragrance and scents in general. And on your site, you have very poetic sounding descriptions like,
thank you,
fallen leaves as a woman or making out under a cashmere blanket. And it really puts you mentally there. And I think like it's enough of a vignette that enough people can be like, oh my God, that's my shit. And I'm curious how you came up with that kind of format of the way you talk about your scents.
I think it kind of came from not knowing the language, I'm speaking in air quotes, of fragrance when I started. And I still approach it assuming that nobody knows what the hell like a opal benax is. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
Because no one does.
Right.
I still don't.
You don't need to find out because it's falling leaves as a woman.
Yeah.
But I think it just, in a sense, it felt like a good extension of trying to explain scent to people. And also it's very fun to write those things. But I feel like it just kind of makes it more approachable because, you know, it's a reminder that all fragrance is completely interpreted by the wearer, no matter how like hard you try to drill a concept or how hard you try to bang a narrative over somebody's head, it's still going to smell like whatever that person has tied into even a single note in it. So I don't know. I think like the vagueness of those characteristics, it creating like these situations or these ideas or these images that everyone will interpret differently. I feel like it's just a bit more approachable. It's all adding to the fantasy of it.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny because I feel like Sable and I have always written about fragrance in that way or added that into, because like, I mean, when you're writing for a publication, they're going to want you to tell them what it smells like. But also then you have the room to include the feeling and the emotion of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your product pages have, you know, the sort of more narrative descriptor for everyone. And then they have the notes and then they have the emotion, maybe not in that exact order, but there's really truly something there for everyone. So no matter how you understand and shop for fragrance, you're going to hook them like that. I love that. I think it's exciting.
Thank you.
And it's also refreshing to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really glad to hear that. That's great. Yeah. It still amazes me to see how people actually do interpret things, even when they do have like a strong concept or like a strong backbone of the story. It's still going to be whatever they want it to be, like how like Holy Hell was initially made of innocence and being a moody child, but now it's like this like sex crazed like perfume about like getting laid. Like the amount of messages I get about that, of people being like, everyone wants to fuck me when I wear this, so I can swear.
Yeah, of course you can swear.
This isn't on public radio. That's good. Yeah, it's just like, it's so funny to me. Like, especially that one. Like, I'm like, this is like Freudian in a way that like, I can't even touch.
Wow. I love the names. They're so unique. And they don't fit the mold of a fragrance name. I mean, ostensibly like, all fragrance names, like, especially now, because there's so many, they're getting like wilder and wilder. But the trick, I feel, it's always difficult to like, encompass it in one word if possible. And I feel like your scents are always really clever with that. Like daddy as a fragrance. Like in my head, when I saw that, I was like, it probably doesn't even matter what that smells like. People will buy that on the name alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes me wonder, do names inspire scents, or do you have a concept and then name them when they're done?
Usually it's done afterwards. Almost entirely it's done afterwards. I can't actually, when I saw that question, I was sort of trying to break it down and be like, oh, like I never thought about that, but it's true. Like I don't think I've ever named a perfume before I made it. Normally I make it based on whatever turmoil, unfortunately, that's where it happens. That's where the good stuff lives. And the name kind of happens afterwards.
Well, so great art comes from trauma.
What then inspires your collection? I know that's like such a large question to ask about a collection of fragrances, but does your collection have one thing in common across it, or does it all come from a certain place, or how do you approach your creative process? There I go again.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just lying. Sorry. Going through the emotions. Yeah, grief and heartbreak are very good for this kind of stuff. Also anticipation, I think. And I think like a theme that I'm starting to notice I'm constantly sort of exploring is longing. It's my favorite.
We love it. This is a house of yearning.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
All addicts to longing and just needing something else to come along. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you're usually your most creative when you're a bit of an emotional stallion. So usually it, like there's been like good anticipation, good longing, like going on a trip somewhere that I haven't been before and wanting to have a scent to take with me that is specific to this thing so that I'm not shrouded in other memories or thoughts. And I often will do that when I'm going somewhere, and then I'll come back and then it'll kind of become the skeleton for another formula. But yeah, I think really it's just a lot of longing and trying to understand how that translates into fragrance, which I think is, I don't know, for me, it's a good place to be because I don't think I'll ever be satisfied as a person who loves to long.
Yes. So what is it you always say? Like, you're always least productive when you're in love. How do you say that?
That's true. Oh, it was based on this tweet that I saw where it's like, oh, you're in love. I bet you're not as productive as you used to be. And I'm like, yep. Or my That's other favorite tweet, which is, you cannot have a crush and a job at the same time.
That's what it is.
That's my, it's the truest thing I've ever read.
It's true. It's also distracting. But I mean, like, that's like the best way to escape your brain is completely. Get a crush.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I can't have a workplace crush anymore. Yeah. Dude, it's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. I also freelance and work from home. So now I'm like, I guess I just have to have crushes on like 10 different baristas around town.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Yeah. You just start like being like, okay, this is my crush now.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps my productivity.
Yeah.
My part of my creative process.
Exactly. I need to be obsessing over some random person who doesn't deserve an ounce of my attention in order to get through the day.
Yeah.
Or knows you exist.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Desire for the sake of desire, which I feel like fragrance and desire go hand in hand so well.
I think fragrance and longing go hand in hand.
I mean, desire and longing. Same, like, yeah.
Same animal.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's true.
So you talked about not having a workplace crush, but as a small independent perfumer, I don't imagine that your workplace is all that big. I don't know what your team looks like. I don't know if you have a team, but I'm super interested because I feel like, at least in my circles, your brand has really caught fire lately. So what challenges do you think being a small independent perfumer presents? And also, what opportunities have you found through it?
The challenges are pretty, there's a lot, but I guess it depends on how you look at it. I'm trying really hard to very consciously every time I'm like, oh, I can't stand this part. I hate this part. This is the worst. I hate sample day, but I have to check in constantly to be like, you're fine. You love this and you wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But I think like just, it's like the business side of things. I did go to school in Montreal for a very short period of time. I went to fashion marketing school and I wish I stayed only because I know in the second year they're going to get into the bureaucracy hell of everything. Mm-hmm. And I wish I stayed for that because I don't get it. The business side of things does continue to make me feel unhinged most of the time and extremely avoidant, but I'm trying to just not focus on that stuff because eventually it'll all get sorted out is the idea. Even though I'm probably going to get my ass kicked for saying that, I have a person that does come in and help me with sampling because it's hell to do. Bottle so many samples.
Yeah.
But I think that it's ultimately all like it's good because I get to learn how to like run this on my own. And I don't know.
Yeah. There's so much tedium, I feel, with like creative projects in general, but especially when like your creative project is your business. Mm-hmm. That's just a part of it. And you're like, well, I have to do this like really tedious thing that technically bigger picture, I love this, but this sucks.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of memes, I like remember seeing one like a few months ago that was like, find the thing you love and then make it your full time job.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bad idea. But great idea too. It's the best thing that I could possibly be doing. Like the good side is I can like, again, run it however I want. It can be on fire. Mm-hmm. I can ditch Instagram and not post for weeks at a time. I can put a stop on compounding a perfume when like I feel like it's too difficult to do for whatever reason I've decided, which is all very bad to do. This is all bad, but I can if I want.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying not to run it into the ground.
Right.
I really am. But it's a work in progress for sure to not do that.
Right. I feel like people don't realize that, you know, people look at, you know, there's this whole glamorizing entrepreneurship and running a small business, which is obviously very cool. But I know it's the oldest opinion in the book, but like we only see the cool parts of it and we only see the success. And when you are doing every step of it, I'm sure it doesn't feel cool all the time or feel empowering or even successful, even when it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I was talking to a friend who, and she's a writer and she had just finished a book and we were meeting and having a drink and talking about like how the most exciting part is the lead up to launching something new and like getting excited to like share your story around it and getting like excited to talk about this like new exciting thing that you've done. And after that, how there's just like full crash of being like, oh, now it's back to everything being so dull. And it's not dull ever, really. I think it's just a loss of creative time and not having all of that to my disposal anymore. But at the end of the day, I'm so, so lucky. And I'm also extremely aware that I got into this at a really good time, like a few years before the pandemic and during the pandemic when like everything just went through the roof. And that's not to disparage anything. Like, obviously people are enjoying what I'm doing, but you know, there was a timing bit there too.
Oh, absolutely. People are so much more obsessed with fragrance now more than ever. And maybe that's just because, I don't know, like our culture has moved way more towards hyper-individualism. Obviously, light switch capitalism. I'm so happy to see so many more fragrance brands popping up, especially more accessible ones. But at the same time, I see the fast fashionization happening to fragrance too. And I'm like, come on, man.
I get it. And I try to remind myself that, you know, not every consumer is us and that there is something for everyone. But it is nice among all of that when a brand like Universal Flowering, at least from my perspective, I'm not running the brand, is getting so much more shine and so much more publicity. And I'm just hearing more about it. And it's like, you know, we know about, now I don't want to disparage any brand, but like if I hear one more thing about Floor, it's like, we know.
Oh my God, I was about to say Floor.
You know, like, I'm sorry. Like, no, and like respect to Floor, they do nice things, but it's like, I am happy that, you know, people aren't just looking solely at the fast fashionization of it all. But Sable, you're right. It is a little like exhausting. Like I've seen that bottle 10 times today.
It is very funny.
It's also weird because fragrance is, sure, it's a beauty category, but it's also such a subjective art form that doesn't really conform to many trends except for the abundance and the accessibility. Yes. So ostensibly, it doesn't matter if a huge brand like Le Labo or an independent brand like yourself, it's almost like just depending on, I mean, obviously they have like a lot of marketing power, but in terms of taste and inspiration, there's like as much, I don't know. I get like very warm underdog feelings about like independent perfume brands because it's like, this is the stuff that's informing the creativity of what fragrance could be. And this is also probably what a lot of the bigger, you know, public brands are looking at when they're like, how are we going to differentiate?
It's also, I think, Sable, to that point, like, I think about Universal Flowering as like a very romantic brand.
Yes.
I know that like fragrance is inherently romantic, but there's, I also don't think it's very tried. It doesn't feel heavy-handed where you look at anything by Estee Lauder or whatever, where it's like romance, sensuality, but their marketing is so sterile and so consumer-friendly and so first thought. And then you go to a brand like Universal Flowering and it's cool and it's unexpected. And again, it's not like beaten into you, but the language that would never get approved anywhere else really, really sings when you're looking at what you do. So I don't know. It's cool that it's like, oh, it can work given the chance, you know?
Absolutely. It's, I don't know. I feel like that kind of what people needed maybe in order to get back into fragrance. And I don't know I don't know how big of a role independent perfumery had in the explosion of people getting into scent again. But I hope it was a big one because I think that for me, when I first was trying to understand scent, I remember like, and this is like sort of basic considering everything, but I remember smelling Etat Libre d'Orange in a boutique and I smelled Jasmine a cigarette and like it like kind of blew my brain. Like I was just like, I didn't know perfume could be so conceptual and like ugly and pretty. It just never occurred to me. And that was like sort of, I think, when the gears kind of started to really grind because that like just excited me so much because that perfume literally smells like an ashtray and like not the romantic idea of an ashtray. Like it literally smells like an old ashtray, but like it's beautiful.
To borrow a phrase from Sable, they have no gods and no masters.
It's true.
Yeah.
Man. So I like that brand a lot, but you never know. And it is cool that they can be like, this isn't supposed to be pretty.
Yeah. They remind me of, like, do you remember those Harry Potter jelly beans that, like...
Bertie Bott's, I have a favorite beans.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't remember the beans.
Yeah. But, like, some of them tasted like earwax or vomit.
Oh, like, jelly bellies.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible.
Yeah. And you would get, like, the surprise gross ones. Like, that's what I tell Libra Durange makes me think of.
That's so funny.
I mean, I will say that they go too far. They definitely go too far. Like, I think a perfume does, unless it's a art piece in a museum.
Yeah.
It should be
wearable.
Wearable. Like,
I'm gotta be so a little wearable. Genuinely, honestly wondering who has purchased and worn, like, Secretions Magnifique. Like,
no one knows
who. We got samples, just like the baby sample vials. And as soon as I, like, even opened the little box, I was like,
there's a subculture underbelly somewhere that's like really enjoying that fragrance. Yeah. But
this sounds like an investigation for someone who's a lot less lazy than me.
Yeah, I need someone to really go undercover to find these people. It would be good.
I have never had an experience like that. And Sable, you didn't even wear it on your body, right?
No, I would not put it on my skin.
Oh, absolutely my not. God.
No.
I just remember texting Sable being like, it's trying to fight me and it's winning. Like, oh.
You said it smelled violent. And I was like,
it smells violent.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, that excites me. I like the idea of something smelling violent.
Yeah.
Has there been, you know, sort of, we just spent a lot of time on how difficult running a small business can be, but have there been any surprises with what you've done so far and any just things that you weren't expecting that worked really well for you or like surprise hits or anything?
I mean, the whole thing has kind of been a surprise. Like when I started this, I didn't think it was ever going to be my entire life. That didn't even occur to me, which is, I guess, probably the best way to start something. But I think just in general, like just I think the most surprising thing is just how the community works around it. Like how all these like little fragrance pockets on social media, like are in all these private little chat rooms and sharing samples with each other and doing basically like most of the legwork for a lot of niche brands. And it's so cool and amazing. Obviously, I'm very grateful for those people, but it's just such a delight. Also, just I think it's also come hand in hand with younger people not gatekeeping and being really open and like honest about like what they're wearing and like you know, like that used to be when I was growing up, perfumes were a secret and it's like you're wearing Prada Amber, like I know what you have on, or like Marc Jacobs Daisy. But I think like just that side of things has been like very surprising to me, to just like see that kind of delight and how open people are about sharing it. And also just like how receptive, you said surprise hits and whatever, like it's everything kind of feels like a surprise hit in a way, because I am amazed with like what I get away with like describing things and people being like, oh, that sounds great. I'm like, okay, good.
But it works. What's your most popular fragrance?
I would say probably it changes constantly. Like there'll be like moments where I'm just like, oh my God, I haven't seen that one move much in a while. And then all of a sudden it's like flying.
Yeah.
But definitely Heliotrope Milk Bath is probably the most popular right now. And Venus and Tuberose is pretty popular, but that's a release I don't do year round.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
Very cool. Limited edition. Yeah.
Seasonal vibes. I can't have too many things in my collection. It's too much work. But I want to be releasing things, but you know. But I also don't want to be catering to the drop industry. But
right.
Thank you.
I can't help it sometimes.
I'm curious. How many fragrances do you make in, I don't know, a year? Do you plan that out? Or is it truly just whatever you've created?
What happens.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah. For a while there, like I think because it wasn't so busy, I had more time to be developing a lot more. And now it's less so. Mm-hmm. So for the last few years, in the summer, in the fall, I would do a sample sale, essentially, of fragrances that I was excited about and kind of seeing what excited people the most out of those. And like, I would sell them cheaper, obviously, than full bottles and get a lot of feedback that way. And that's kind of how the collection sort of moved through, just kind of getting that type of feedback. But now it's a lot less. Like, I think this year, there's probably only going to be 2 releases, which is a lot. Still,
yeah.
I think it's a lot, especially for one person.
Yeah. To be fair, one of those releases is a collaboration. So that's
I feel like consumers are quick to forget that like not every brand is Fenty Beauty. You know,
yeah.
It's like we have to realize that not everyone is backed by Kendo and can just like do whatever the fuck they want at any given time.
Yeah.
You know, which is exciting.
Well, sure,
know?
I can.
Well, that's true. Something that like I am fascinated by is when I look, I'm looking at my notes right now, but when I look through your collection, I always find both notes and then combinations of notes that I have often never heard of or would never expect together. I'm thinking of Take Holy Hell, for instance, Underripe Melon, Beach Ball Accord, and Toasted Seashells, among other things, Violet Coppertone. Like, what? Like, and
what a mess.
No, I mean, Holy Hell is one of my favorites of the scents of yours that I've tried, but how do you come up with that? Where does your inspiration come from? Like, how do you know? Is it intuition? Is it just trial and error?
I think a combination of both. Like, it's a lot of curiosity for sure. There's a lot of just wondering what things are going to smell like together or trying to create a non-flower smell, like a beach ball. Sure. Like making something like kind of plasticky and acetatey, something melting kind of smell just to kind of have in the background to elevate other things. So like, I guess, yeah, mostly just excitement, curiosity. A lot of the time it's me wanting, kind of going back to what we were saying earlier about now I love everything. It's trying to get me to enjoy a certain type of note in a fragrance. In Purple Afternoon, I started making that because I never liked iris ever. Mm-hmm. I didn't like powdery, quote, notes in perfume. It wasn't something that I ever enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And now I love it and am obsessed with iris perfumes. Like Iris Silver Mist is one of my favorite perfumes, which if you had me smell it like 8 years ago, I would have been very offended by it.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of the time, it's just like exploratory. And with Purple Afternoon, like I think it was, I mean, that I don't think that note list is like too much of a shock for the most part. But like when I was developing it, I was like, oh, it's so close. And then I put like some like really stinky oud in it. And then I was like, oh, it's perfect. Good. And that kind of finished.
I'm wearing that right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it's funny. I would not personally pull. I mean, unfortunately, I love iris scents. I didn't know until I started really diving in. But it doesn't shock me that I like this as much as I do. But I wouldn't really pull iris out of it, and I wouldn't really call it powdery either. It feels like really sweet and warm and spicy to me, which is like right up my alley. But I love Purple Afternoon.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's one of my favorites, and that one kind of feels like people have been sleeping on a little bit.
Well, they should wake up.
I agree. I completely agree. Yeah, and I think it's like maybe it's like an iris for beginners. I don't know.
Sure.
Maybe. I love anything with iris in it. So
yes, this is an iris podcast.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? This is just a personal question. The name Holy Hell, because that's sort of a beachy perfume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ish. Okay.
I think I thought it was funny.
Okay.
At the time, just because I also, when I was making it, I was showing it to a lot of people and getting a lot of mixed reactions. Everyone was really excited about it and really enjoyed it, but everyone had either really like horny associations with it or really innocent or really romantic or really like elegant. It was completely all over the map. And then for me, where it came from was like, again, thinking about childhood and like being like a grumpy little baby on the beach because I played too hard. And I think like Holy Hell just kind of fit the bill because it was like either like, holy hell, or like, holy hell, you know, like
an exclamation.
And I thought like the heat, hell, whatever, like holy hell, it's hot, like whatever, that kind of bit. So it's sort of just, it just fit the myriad reactions that happened around the whole thing. And again, I thought it was kind of funny. I was worried about it being like too like, ooh, cheeky, like.
it's great. We love it.
Right.
It's funny. I took this surprise trip to Montauk this weekend and I wore it by accident the day I was there. And
Montauk? Sorry.
Exactly. It's like very north. Sable, it's northern New York, right? It's like the Hamptons. No.
It's next to the Hamptons. It's all the way the eastern point of Long Island. It's right next to the Hamptons. It's where like all of the 1% go to summer. Right.
And there's like beer named after it.
Yes. There is a beer company.
Think Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
But it was like a gray sort of breezy day on the beach. And like I said, I meant to wear Purple Afternoon, but I wore Holy Hell. And I was just like, damn, this smells exactly like the day it looks. You know what I mean?
Oh, amazing.
It, like, yes. Starts really salty and then like warms down really sweet. I don't know. I just love it.
Like a grim summer day where you're just like, yes. Oh God, I feel like I have to do something because it's like hot out, but like, I don't want to, like, just like sort of just like, yeah, mixed bag of emotions, melancholy, longing. It's all in there.
Yeah,
totally. You sort of already answered this, but as an independent perfumer, how do you reach your audience and how do they find you? Is it, do you do a lot of outreach or is it just a lot of word of mouth from your customers?
It's all word of mouth. And I'm really, really lucky because I've never had to do any advertising. I've never had to do a whole lot, really, except for post on Instagram. And that's probably the biggest surprise of all. Mm. Yeah, it's all word of mouth. And I think that's the best way to have customers. Right. Like, it's like everyone is like really super engaged and like really excited about it. And it shocks me constantly.
Nice.
I love that.
That is, I feel like that's like the truest recommendation is like a word of mouth.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially in fragrance.
Especially or like in fragrance.
Word of nose.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Word of smell.
Terrible. Oh God.
I'm mentally cataloging the discovery set I want to build. So I'm like all the things. So I'm like, Because before I hadn't really thought twice about Purple Afternoon, and now I'm like, actually, that sounds really.
Oh, you need it.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For sure.
For sure.
Oh, I do need to mention something. I was given permission to say so. We're trying to add to the accountability cauldron here, but Marissa and I are working on a fragrance.
Amazing. What?
For the fall.
Oh my God.
And I was like, should I mention it? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's drop it. Sure.
Is this an exclusive?
It's exciting.
The collab of the century.
Hell,
I love that that's so full circle because Marissa's opus is actually how I heard about universal flowering. So
I think so. I think that's true for me too, actually.
Yeah. She posted about you. And then I like was like, what's this?
Oh, I'm Marissa's Nepo baby. I love it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything at all anything. Just that it's coming?
Just that it's coming. It's inspired by Swan Lake. That's all I got.
Oh, I love.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's looking good so far.
Amazing. Okay, well, please keep us posted.
So exciting. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, I love an exclusive on the show. A collaboration with Marissa Zappas. That's crazy.
I know. I don't know why I like had a feeling they would work together one day. But I was like, oh yeah, I see the parallels between those two. So like, how cool would it be if they worked on something together? So I was like, sick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Swan Lake.
Also, I just, you know, that's all we know. That's all she told us.
That's all we know. But it's coming out in the fall, apparently. So it's coming quite soon.
Knowing Marissa's approach and what she's done, what she's into, her take on Swan Lake alone is exciting enough. And then Courtney along for the ride, partnering with her, like, I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. I like wanted to ask her more questions about like what the collaboration looked like, but I had a feeling that she was like, that's all I can say. So I was like, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, it's our Smile Leader exclusive.
Right. We keep you fed.
I really want to try saffron flower. You told me about that.
You would really like saffron flower, obviously.
Definitely Purple Afternoon. Now, I do want to smell what the daddy one smells like. And the heliotrope milk bath. That one also sounded really cool. So
Yeah.
We'll see. He.
It's a very Sable Tynan discovery set.
Yeah.
Well, until then, you can hit our website to buy our very comfortable merch, leave us a voice note that we can respond to on the show. You can follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. I am at Titan Buck.
I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will
smell you later.